We greet you in the name of the Lord, so thankful for the privilege of sharing another Way of Truth broadcast with you. This is Alvin A. Craig speaking, and we invite you to stay with us. This broadcast service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America.
Just as you are to the Savior of men, He waits to be gracious today. He calls you in mercy again and again. He never turns any away.
Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you never turn any away. Jesus said, "Whosoever will may come and take of the waters of life freely." We're so thankful that we can present His gospel on this broadcast today, knowing that you are willing and able to save any and all who will come to you. So may you use us, may you use this broadcast to touch hearts and to touch lives. You see our congregation, you know them every one, you love them every one, you're interested in every one, and so we are praying that you'll minister to them, and in all that is done, may you be glorified, may you be pleased. This we ask in Jesus' name, amen.
My soul was black with sin, and I had no peace within. Jesus came and changed my life. Now I have abiding peace that doth ever increase, for the Savior changed my
because He changed my life.
out to pray, but he came and changed my life. Oh, what love he had for me when he died on the tree. By his power he changed my life. He changed my life one day and taught me how to pray. I tell the world about his love and my sweet home above, all because he changed my life. Love and joy and peace divine filled this longing heart of mine when he came and changed my life. Now I know I'll live again the Christ there to reign, for by grace he changed my life. He changed my life one day and taught me how to pray. I tell the world sweet home in heaven above, all because he changed my life, all because he changed my life.
Our subject for today's broadcast might strike you a little strange, but I trust as we go along, you will understand. And the title of our thoughts is How Dead Men Should Live. And I'm going to read from Romans chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. In the first part of the book of Romans, Paul points out that all have sinned. We have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin, Romans 3 and 9. And if we say that we have not sinned, we make him, God, a liar, and his word is not in us. So John wrote in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 10. So Paul pointed out that all have sinned, therefore all have died. He has also pointed out that the old covenant law could not save. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Romans chapter 3 and verse 20. Now Paul pointed out there was one means of salvation, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Again, Romans chapter 3 and verse 24. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 5 and 1. And the Apostle Peter declares in Acts chapter 4 that there is no other name given under heaven among men whereby we may be saved, except, of course, the name Jesus Christ. So then Paul asks the question, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound, since we are not under the law? If grace comes as a result of sin, then should we just go on sinning so that there would be more grace? That seems to be more or less like the thinking of a lot of religious people today, but it is not what the scriptures teach. Paul has a message for them, and he has an answer to his question. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now I'd like for you to look with me for the moment in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. And you hath he quickened. That word quickened, of course, means resurrected or made alive. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation or our manner of living in times past in the lusts of the desires of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us up to us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so being resurrected, being quickened, is synonymous with salvation, according to the Apostle Paul. And so Paul says here, or asks the question in our text, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Let us not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. So we read in verse 12 of Romans. Well, let me read verses 11 and 12 of this sixth chapter. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your body, mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. So, sin brings death. Christ brings resurrection. Christ gives life. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now, I'd like to ask you a question. Does those who have died physically continue to go on through living their life, going to their job, going out here to the city, street in the city streets, or through driving through the countryside, or doing this or doing that? Does those who have died, do they do that? Did you ever go to a funeral home and see a dead body lying there in a casket and ask them to go with you to a restaurant to get a meal? Now, I'm not being silly and I'm not being foolish. I've got a point that I want to make here. Paul says, how shall we continue in sin when we are dead to sin? And so, just like a physical death brings a lack of action, it is actually the ending of physical life. Whenever a person dies physically, that's the end of their activities. Well, why is it that people in the religious world especially think that whenever you become a Christian, you're still dead to sin while you're alive to Christ? That's an impossibility, just like I've mentioned here in regard to physical death. It's impossible for a person who has died physically to continue the activities of life. And so it is just as impossible for a person who has really died to sin, it's impossible for them to continue a life of sin. Otherwise, what does Paul mean here? What shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? How shall we that are dead to sin continue therein? Of course you cannot. Now the trouble of it, the trouble that we find in the religious world is people have joined church, they've signed decision cards, they've turned over a new leaf, or they've done this or they've done that, but they have not died to sin. And while you are alive to sin, you are dead to Christ. You have to die to sin to be made alive to Christ. You cannot have death and life at the same time. That is utterly impossible. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. So we read in Romans 6 and 14. Let us also notice verse 18 of this chapter. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. So you have to be made free from sin to have life in Christ, and you have to be free from sin to live a righteous and a godly life. While you are dead to Christ and alive to sin, you're going to continue a life of sin. But you cannot do both. There must be a choice made, whether life in Christ and death to sin, or whether dead to Christ and alive to sin. There must be that choice made. So how are dead men to live? And I use the word man there in reference to the family of man. Let us look at this, or answer this thought of how dead men should live. We speak of those who are dead to sin, but alive to Christ. You hath he quickened, again, reading from Ephesians 2, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And God has saved us, raised us up, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so whenever we are resurrected, whenever we're quickened, then we are to live a righteous and a godly life, and we are to cease living the kind of way that Paul described there in Ephesians 2 that I read a few moments ago. No, we end that kind of a life because we have been resurrected, because we have been made alive in Christ. Paul said in his letter to the Colossian brethren, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. If you then be risen with Christ, if you be saved, you have quit the sin business, you've been made alive in Christ. Therefore, Paul said, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. While you are living in sin, you are seeking the things of the world. You're loving the world, you're following the world, you're doing the worldly things, you're going to worldly places, and you're living a worldly, ungodly life. But whenever you cease the life of sin and you're made alive in Christ, then you are to live the Christian life, seeking those things which are above. Jesus said, set not your affections on the things of this earth, where moth does corrupt, thieves break through and steal, but set your affection on things above, where Moth and rust does not corrupt, where thieves cannot break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So whenever you are, whenever you die to sin, made alive to Christ, you want to seek those things which are above. You want to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, and your heart is set on heavenly things and not worldly and ungodly things. Again, we read in Romans chapter 6, this time verse 13, neither yield your members, and that's talking about the members of our body, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. How shall dead men live? They shall live a righteous and a godly life, yielding their members to God so that they can fulfill the acts and deeds of righteousness. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Again, that's Romans 6 and 13. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Whenever you have died to sin, been made alive to Christ, you are to present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We have been bought with a great price. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Whenever you die to sin and you're made alive to Christ, then you are to present your body a temple to God, to be a temple of the Holy Ghost. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Reading again from 1 Corinthians, this time verse 16 and 17 of chapter 3. If any man defile the temple of God, know you not that your body, or your body is the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. So we are not our own. We have been bought with a price. We are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, and our body is to be the temple of the Holy Ghost, and we are to live such a life that our body is clean and pure and holy. Now, I'm not talking about you not getting dirty on the job. I'm talking about sin. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. And we are to cleanse ourselves of all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 7, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts thereof. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5, 24 and 25. And again, Romans 8, 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. So we are told in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of sharing these scriptures and these thoughts with our precious congregation today. We trust that the Word of God has gone forth accompanied by the Holy Spirit. And we trust that the Spirit has been able to deal with hearts and deal with souls. If there be any in a congregation not saved, may the Spirit convict them and draw them to Christ, that they might be made whole, that they be resurrected from the dead state of sin to life in Christ. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a privilege to share another Way of Truth broadcast with you. We trust that it has proven to be a blessing. If so, why not write and let us know? Our mailing address, the Way of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. The Way of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address, truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. Remember, you can read our monthly Way of Truth magazine on our webpage, and you can also join us in our services, for they are broadcast live over the Internet. And our Internet address again, www.wayoftruth.org. Our service time is Sunday morning, 20 minutes before 11, and Sunday evening at 6, and Wednesday evening at 7. Again, our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. And now, we thank you for being a part of our congregation today, and this is Alan A. Craig inviting you to be with us next week when again, the Lord willing, we'll be coming your way with another Way of Truth broadcast. And until then, may the blessings of heaven rest in and abide upon each and every one of you, is our sincere prayer.